Looking for a great math program? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective by using creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Here's a great testimonial from Lori, one of the many listeners of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. She said, "One day, my 10-year-old was in tears over math. I tried my best to help, but ended up in tears as well. We prayed together, and that very night, I received an email offer for CTC Math. The following Monday, we reviewed the curriculum together. She was willing to give it a shot, and we have never looked back." Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I'm so glad you've joined me again today. I am back with Sam Sorbo. If you missed our conversation on Monday, go back and listen to that. You are going to be encouraged. We had a chance to talk about her new book that is just coming out called Words for Warriors: Fight Back Against Crazy Socialists and the Toxic Liberal Left. That is a mouthful.
Yeah.
That does not slide off the tongue easily.
And you can't tell like what political bent I am is. So that's excellent.
Not
by
at
the way,
all.
The book cover is red, white, and blue with stars and some stripes on it.
Amen. God bless America.
God bless America, man.
Land
yes.
of the free. Because of the brave. All because of God. So, Sam, I'm glad you have come back with me today. We have some questions, and I love doing Q&As. This is one of my favorite things about doing this podcast. I love getting questions from people, and I love having guests on. Oftentimes, Abby and I do Q&A episodes together, but I'm excited because you have been doing your Homeschool Help webinar, which we talked about at the end of the last podcast. And so I thought this would be really fun to have you answer a couple of our questions that have come in.
And I love Q&A because I'm very convincing.
Yeah.
It gives me a chance to proselytize.
Right. Nice.
To evangelize people to homeschool.
Evangelize away, sister. That is what we are here for. We want people to know the beauty and the joys of homeschooling and what it can do for your kids, not just academically, but eternally. And that's not to say that, of course, if we're not homeschooled, you know, kids can't be saved. I was brought up in a Christian school my entire life, and I am grateful for the school that I went to. It is a huge part of why I am a believer today, why I love Jesus, because I had excellent teachers, but things have changed so much. And even in that Christian school that I went to, my husband taught in that school for a year. He taught film production there, and it had changed so much. I mean, it was heart-wrenching to see how much that school had changed and how far gone they were from teaching a strict biblical worldview, like was taught when I was
there. I'll tell you a short story. I knew a young girl who was going to a Christian college, and it was clear that one of her professors was an atheist. And she used to go out to dinner with her or out to lunch. And one day she asked her finally, sort of point blank, I don't understand. It's clear you're an atheist. And the professor said, yes. And she said, so what are you teaching at a Christian school for? And the professor said, oh, well, this is my mission field.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly right.
So don't make assumptions.
Nope. They're there for a reason. Okay, let's kind of jump into question one. And I love the transparency of this one. This mom says, I'm failing at homeschooling. And I love that she just starts with that. I'm just failing. It's done. She says, I'm failing at homeschooling. The past year has overwhelmed us all, and we have completely lost ground with homeschooling. How do I pick up the pieces? Do I need to start over from the beginning of the school year?
I would say take some time off. You're obviously working way too hard. I mean, honestly, it's sort of like if you're grabbing hold so hard, sometimes letting go is the best way to move forward. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I don't know all the particulars. Sure. I don't even know the ages of her children. But we talked about this in Monday's podcast, is I don't believe that you should be jumping through the hoops that somebody arbitrarily has put up because of an age of child. And so if you're falling behind, then be okay with that. Sometimes people fall behind. Make sure that you're at least trying to do the work. But, you know, we all learn different things at different times of our lives in different ways. And so if your child is not the fits inside the box child, praise God and move away from the box.
Yep.
Step away from the box. Right. It's not, you don't have to be inside the box.
Right.
You know, we put so much pressure on ourselves. Oh, my preschooler doesn't know her alphabet. So what? She's got 16 more years to learn the alphabet.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's too much pressure. And I disagree with it. I think that it's unfortunate for children to find themselves in that situation where so much is expected of them when really what they ought to be doing is playing outside.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, playing outside is such an important thing. We did a podcast recently on 1,000 Hours Outside with Jenny Urich, and it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And she talked all about the importance of having their kids outdoors anywhere from 4 to 6 hours a day. Yep. And if you guys missed that podcast, go back and listen to it, because it is, we've done over 200 podcasts now, and that is one of the most important ones that you can listen to. So I'll link to that one. Making myself a note here. I always say I'm going to link to that and then I forget. But yes,
no, I think it's very important. I think there's a reason that we have the prevalence of ADD. Mm-hmm. I think we've had it for a long time and we just didn't acknowledge it, didn't recognize it, didn't have a name for it.
Right.
But young men who, or young boys who struggle to sit at a desk, of course they struggle to sit at a desk for 8 hours. Right. And now with COVID, when they're not allowed to even get up and go outside for recess or get up and go somewhere for lunch, no change of scenery. I think that's child abuse. I disagree with it heartily. And I think the best thing, I mean, honestly, bring your kids home. Have you looked into unschooling at all, Yvette?
You know, a little bit.
I'm not an advocate of unschooling, but I will say the families do it and get it done and their kids are fine.
Right.
Like I don't know that they're breaking any speed records or whatever. Right.
Right.
But they're fine.
Yep.
I'm just saying, you know, here's the thing. Children are intrinsically curious.
Yep.
It's a God-given gift that we are curious. School works very hard to knock the curious out of the child so that by the time the child is finished with their quote schooling, they don't want to learn anything ever again.
Right.
They're done with learning because they hate it.
That was me.
That's not the right paradigm. That's not the way that it should be. There's a reason that God made us curious and we ought to be taking advantage of that. And so you take advantage of it with your kids. If you're struggling to get quote unquote schoolwork done, send your kid outside and tell them they have to collect 6 different leaves and then press the leaves and then draw the leaves and then discover what kind of leaves they are and do some more research, you know, find other ways to engage the child in learning. And by the way, parents, you are challenged now to learn alongside your child.
Right.
You don't necessarily have to know everything to teach your child. You just have to know enough that your child needs to learn.
Yeah.
And you do already because you're a functioning adult. So as long as you get that in before they turn 20, you're fine. But you think about how much trigonometry you know, and then get back to me about, you know, how you're planning to teach your child all that, right?
Right. Yep. Yep. I'm with you. No, and I agree. I am not an advocate of unschooling, but I am also not at all. I'm less of an advocate for a very structured, go by state standards for every child. Overschooling, that's a good one. You know, your child has to fit perfectly into this box, as you were talking about earlier, because no child fits perfectly into the box. Not one. There's not a child in the world who fits perfectly into the box that society tells them they have to fit into.
And God bless them. I would hope that they wouldn't. I mean, the last thing we want. And by the way, you know, they implemented Common Core in the public schools because who doesn't want their child to be common?
Right.
I mean, come on, it's in the name. Like, it's so ridiculous that we actually go along with it. I think at certain times that the powers that be are just testing, like, you think they'll go for this? What about, let's try this. This is absurd. And they're like back there going, they actually fell for that.
Oh, yeah.
They're on board with that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So,
well, there's a very intentional agenda behind all of it. We did a podcast back several months ago with Alex Newman, and that guy's amazing. That's another one I'll link to for those who have not heard that. It is a must listen. Go listen to 1000 Hours Outside and listen to my interview with Alex Newman. And he talks all about the history of public schools and why we are where we are today as a nation, and that it's all by design. It's not by mistake.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
And people who say schools are failing, oh, no, they're not. They're doing exactly what they set out to do.
Very good. Very good. And I say that too, but I don't know, you know, my message is so harsh. Of course, his is as well.
Yeah.
It's so, you know, I can't help it. It's harsh because your offset as a parent of a public school child is, oh, they'll get it figured out.
Yeah.
The public school's not that bad. I really like the teacher from last year. This one's not that great, but I'm okay. Like, we're so used to settling and taking breadcrumbs from the floor, basically,
yeah,
and allowing the system to walk all over us. That when I say you could be doing it this way and it's better, it sounds so harsh. I mean, I've had people really try to pin me down. You don't believe that every parent should homeschool, do you? And I'm like, okay, abusive parents, I suppose. No. What do you want from me?
Yeah,
like, it's ridiculous. Is there an ideal? Yes, there's an ideal. There's an ideal for the child to grow up in a two-parent family, with one breadwinner and one stay-at-home mom, typically. That is the ideal because historically that's produced the best outcomes.
Sure.
That's the data. I don't argue with the data. I just go where the truth leads me, right? So yeah, I think that we need to sort of get off of our high horse and understand that things are not copacetic.
Yeah.
Everything is not just fine or okay. And if you love your children, you will do the research and make the tough decisions to protect them. But also, and this I wanted to bring up, homeschooling is as much about the parent as it is about the child.
Yep.
The learning curve for the parent, and this is also going to sound a little harsh, but I don't think that you become a full-fledged adult until you teach your child. It's not enough to become a parent because you need to be basically forced into the position of parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And what we face now, and what I discovered when I started doing all of this work because of COVID, right? I had all of this opportunity in the homeschooling realm. And so the questions I was getting from parents and people who were brand new to homeschooling, because they never in their wildest dreams would have done it, their questions were parenting questions. They thought they were school questions.
Right.
My child won't sit for the Zoom conference call. But that's because you haven't disciplined your child. That's a parenting issue. That's not a child, you know, that's not a schooling issue.
Because they're a child who's not created to have to sit for 7 hours.
That aside,
that too.
But they're coming to me and saying, oh, my child won't behave. My child won't do the work. My child this, my child that. And I'm like, that's not a school thing. You want to talk to me about curriculum? My child doesn't understand math. What should I do?
Right.
Okay, we can talk about that. That's a math school issue. But a lot of it, we are facing a schooling issue and an education crisis and a parenting crisis because our parents sent us to school and they didn't learn really how to parent.
Yeah.
Because you don't really learn how to parent until, like, without being in the crucible.
Right.
And you have to be in the crucible. You need to be there every day.
Sure.
And a lot of parents, one of my first articles that I ever wrote was about the troubled teens who really are born in the classroom. The classroom teaches them to question the authority of their parents, and their parents just throw their arms up and say, well, he's a teenager. I mean, remember? Oh, you don't remember this, but when my kids turned teenagers, a lot of people would say to me, oh, three teenagers. Oh, you got your hands full. And I just say, yeah, full of love.
Yeah.
What's your point? Because my kids are home educated. So they have me as the authority. They know that I'm the authority. They don't challenge me much. When they do, we talk it out. And typically I win.
Right.
I'm smarter than they are. Let's face it.
Yeah.
I've lived longer. I know what I'm doing. You know, every once in a while they challenge me, they win
Yep.
because they're smart also.
Yep.
Not all the time, but every so often. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. You've convinced me. Good for you.
Yep. We've been through that same thing with our daughter as well. Let's take a quick break. We will be right back.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
We are back with Sam, and I want to go back really quickly to the first question that was asked, because I want to address something in here. And she says, I'm going to read it again. She says, I'm failing at homeschooling. The past year has overwhelmed all of us, and we have completely lost ground with homeschooling. How do I pick up the pieces? Do I need to start over from the beginning of the school year? So I know that there's several questions in there, but I want to kind of dissect that just a little bit. And she's talking about how she just feels like she's failing. And let me just say to this mom, every homeschool mom I have ever met, except for one who I've mentioned before in the podcast, and she had her doctorate in education and she did her dissertation on homeschooling. And she was the only one who ever said, I don't feel overwhelmed. I feel like I've got this. And I was like, okay, you win that prize. Other than her, literally every single homeschool mom I have ever talked to at some point has felt like they were failing in one area or another. But that goes, Sam, to your point of you were talking about parenting. I think every parent at some point, no matter who you are, feels like in some way they're failing their kids. You know, and it starts without us even realizing it. It starts from birth, and we've got, you know, we have our precious little baby and our friend has a precious little baby and they're the same age. And then you're looking at that other baby and that baby's crawling 3 months before your baby, who's maybe 4 months older than that baby. And you're like, shoot, my baby's not crawling yet. And then that baby might start talking. And at 18 months old, that baby is talking, you know, and saying big words, and your baby's still saying mama, mama, you know, like it's this constant, I think, comparison with other people. And I think that's where what it comes down to is that you feel like you're failing because you're comparing yourself with other homeschool moms, with other homeschool families, with other homeschool kids. And
well, it sounds like
an unfair.
Yeah, she sounds like she feels like she's failing because she hasn't jumped through the hoops that whatever curriculum she has, has put out for her.
Yes.
And so there are two there, and it's good that you unpack it because there are really two things to think about. One, the curriculum is not, should not be the only standard.
Right.
It just shouldn't. I mean, you might love that curriculum, but I have no idea. Maybe it's crap. I don't know. secondly, sorry. Oh, I lost my train of thought. So it's the curriculum, but secondly, your feeling of failure is simply common, and you have to embrace it, and you have to say, okay, I'm going to feel like I'm failing. That's how I'm going to feel, because you've been conditioned by the school to think that you can't. Why do I say that? Because the school teaches us everything that we can't do. It literally, because it only teaches certain things, by virtue of only teaching those certain things and not teaching us how to learn things, but just what to learn, it has taught us that we can't learn anything else, that we can't do anything else. And so you're going to feel like a failure because you don't have the degree from whatever teaching college, and you don't have the certificate from whatever curriculum company. And so therefore you must be a failure. You're starting out as a failure. I would put to this person that she never stood a chance of feeling like she was successful. Not a chance, not a chance. Because even if her son or daughter had like breeze through the curriculum, she'd be like, well, it couldn't have been that easy. We must have missed something. I failed.
Right.
And that's just the way that it is. And that's why I mean, my book, and I'm going to show it, the first one on homeschooling, They're Your Kids, An Inspirational Journey from Self-Doubter to Homeschool Advocate. I mark pages in my book. The reason that I wrote it is because I was a self-doubter. Yep. I never thought that I would be successful. I just thought that I would be better than the failed public school system. And that's what I try to tell parents. Stop comparing yourself to somebody's sizzle reel on Facebook.
Right.
That's their sizzle. Those are their vacation photos. You have no idea what their home life is like.
Oh, and right.
Trust me, you don't want to know.
Okay.
My point being, you're going to feel like a failure, but the bar for you to clear is so low to the ground because the schools have been failing like this for decades now. They're total fail. They're abysmal failures. And you're doing better than the school.
Yep.
And that's and the way you know that you're doing better than the school is because you have a good relationship with your son or your daughter.
Right, right.
And
you,
that's really
you love your kids better than
really
anyone
what
else.
It's about.
Yeah. As parents, we love our kids more than anyone else. And so no one else is going to care more about their education and their character than we are.
And by the way, if that's not true, that's your fault. Because it's not the child's fault.
Right. Right.
You got two chances at the parent-child relationship. One, you're the child and your parents are the others. And the second one is you're the parent, you're the adult, you're driving the relationship. Don't allow your children to do things that that make them dislike you, and encourage them to do things don't allow them to do things that make you dislike them, and encourage them to do things with you that make you like each other. And it's up to you. You drive the bus.
Yep.
So if your child wants to take up soccer, then my goodness, it's your duty to go out and play soccer with that child or find an outlet for that child to play soccer. Yep. That's your duty as a parent. There's no way out of that. And if you go for the easy way and say, "Meh, I'm not going to do that," that's on you. If your relationship with your child suffers because of it.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I appreciate you saying that because it's true. I mean, we have a whole lot more power than I think sometimes we believe we have when it comes to our relationship with our children. And, you know, I know for myself, homeschooling has allowed Garrett and I to have a really good relationship with our girls. And it's not that we don't ever have conflict with them. But we know them better than anyone else. And so, you know, we can read their emotions. There have been so many times where I will tell, especially my oldest, I'll say, "This is what you're thinking right now." And she'll just look at me with big eyes and say, "How did you know?" Well, one, because I can see it all over your face. And two, because you're so much like I was when I was your age. And so I know the emotions you're going through. I know the hormones you're dealing with. I know the struggles that you're having. And I've been
and
there.
I'm not sending you away from me for 8 hours a day for someone else to not recognize any of that stuff and treat you like a widget.
Right, right. Because you can't fake it all day long. Kids can fake it for a little while at home in front of their parents, but kids cannot fake who they are all day, every day of their lives. They are who they are. And so as parents, we have the opportunity to learn who they are, to study our kids, to get to know them and know their strengths and weaknesses. I want to finish this question really quickly because we're just about out of time and we'll jump in tomorrow to the last two questions. But she says, "How do I pick up the pieces?" She just feels like she's completely lost ground. And what I would say in this too is, Sam, you talked about, you know, step back and take a break. Which absolutely. Yeah. And I know we just got back from the holidays recently. And so a lot of people took a break during that time. But how would you, after she takes a break, how would you encourage her to pick those pieces up and get back into the groove?
So I'm going to go out on a limb and project that maybe she is somebody who dots all of her I's and crosses all of her T's, which was me when I started to pursue when I started homeschooling, I was like, "Oh, we've got to do every lesson, every chapter, every question, every answer, all of that." And so one thing that I might suggest is that she choose a different curriculum. If this one just seems to be a bridge too far, but the other thing is lighten up. Maybe only, you know, we moved from doing every math problem to doing every other math problem.
Yeah.
And as long as the child shows a proficiency, move on.
Yep.
The idea is not to burden the child with all the busy work possible so that the day is full, which is the goal in the institutions, right? Your goal is proficiency. So if the child is proficient in that lesson, because two problems and boom, they've got it down, then they move on. It's that simple. Yep. So I, it sounds to me, and of course I'm just projecting, but it sounds yep. like she may be a little too litigious with the curriculum. And so to set her free, I do want to point out that a lot of these curricula have padded for the teachers so that the teachers can send home busy work with the kids.
Yes.
And boy, there's a lot of that going on.
There's busy work galore.
Right. So you're the teacher. All you're looking for is proficiency.
Right.
And, you know, if your kid is like some super whiz kid and gets everything in 5 minutes and moves on, let them move on
right.
and give them extracurricular, yep. you know, give them a documentary to watch and then write a paper on the documentary or something along, you know, just come up with other things that aren't like super burdensome.
Yep.
That might be more fun.
Yep.
And if your kid struggles with all of this, then relax, take it a little bit slower. They'll get there eventually.
Yep. Yep. Character trumps curriculum. But find a curriculum that works for your child and that they will enjoy doing. And sometimes it takes years to find that, you know, I mean, we're in our 10th year of homeschooling and there's been many years where it has taken, you know, a couple of years of math until we figured out that, you know, for us, teaching textbooks works great. You know, we love it. My girls love it. You know, I know a lot of people use CTC Math and love it. They're one of our sponsors. We love them, but everybody is different.
Right. She could go online and say, I have ABC curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody else struggle with ABC curriculum?
Right.
And maybe there's a mass of people that say, oh, my gosh, that's the worst. We gave up on that after 2 weeks or what have you. Right.
Right.
Or there might be people that say, oh, it's really hard for the first half of the year, but then it's really smooth sailing once the kid gets whatever. Reach into the community, find what other people's experiences are.
Yep.
And then try to form a plan.
Yep.
Your child
yep.
that isn't like super burdensome on you
yes.
or on the child.
That's right. Well, wow, I love
that. It should be a pleasure. Home yes. education should be a pleasure
yep.
because it's discovering truth, beauty, and goodness.
That's right.
That's what it's about.
Yep. And that doesn't always mean it's going to be easy.
No.
But yes, it should be a joy and a pleasure, and you should enjoy your kids and they should enjoy you, as you were talking about. So we are out of time for this one. We are going to come back tomorrow. We have two more questions that I would love for Sam to tackle. Thank you, Sam, for joining me again today. You guys can learn more about Sam at samsorbo.com. I'll put that link in the show notes, but it's pretty easy to find.
Samsorbo.com.
Samsorbo.com. And then make sure you sign up for her newsletter and you guys can get more information on her homeschool help webinars when she has those. You do those live, right? So that people can actually join you and ask questions.
Yeah, Q&A, baby.
Q&A. I love it. I love Q&A. It's what we're doing right now. So we will be back tomorrow to answer a couple more of your questions. Have a fantastic day. We'll see you then. Bye.
Thanks.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.